in the book of St. John, chapter 13, is the text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. St. John, chapter 13. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 31. As we are in this series of connecting to the community, talking about blessings from the inside out. John 13, beginning at verse number 31. Word of God reads on this wise. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. All right. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." I want to talk to us from the subject this afternoon, getting ready to go out.
Okay.
Getting ready to go out. It just hit me. I know how it is sometimes, especially when some of us were growing up on, it was a Friday night. It could have been a Saturday night. You were getting ready to go somewhere. And the pains that you took to get ready to go wherever you was going, couldn't nobody stop you. There was no, don't bother me right about now. I'm trying to get this together. I'm trying to hook this up. I'm trying to pull that in and tuck that down. I'm trying to do what I need to do so I'm ready when it's time to go out. And I'm telling us that I've got to connect to the community, and that means that you can't stay inside. You've got to go outside. And in order for you to be able to go outside to the community, you got to get ready on the inside so you can go out. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. I feel T.D. Jakes up in here. You got to get ready. And so he offers for us in the text today a new commandment. He gives us another commandment. He begins to talk to us here in the upper room. Y'all know what happened in the upper room. It was in the upper room on that dreadful Thursday night. In the upper room, he has been sharing in the feast of the Passover. He has had with them. They have done the ritual thing that needed to be done. But then all of a sudden, Jesus removes from the table, goes to get a basin and a towel, and begins to wash feet. I'm trying to bring us back up. We were there last week. And then he goes back to the table and shares a whole nother meal. And he said, "This you got to do to remember who I am and what I've done for you."
Amen.
Yeah, here it is. Here this man on his way to death begins to talk about life. Here it is. He's the Lord of life. That's who he is. And we've got to come to understand who it is that Jesus, the, the Lord of life, the one who Judas is about to betray. He's the one who is not dismayed beyond the death. He knew death was about to happen, but he's looking toward resurrection, and he's looking forward to life evermore. Can I help us understand that there are things that you're going to have to see in your present?
Yeah.
And you've got to see beyond that present situation to see where God is going to take you. I know things are hard right now, but after a while, by and by, I'm looking forward to what God has for me. Woo! He's had some good things for me. Great things in store for me. Mansion built up in glory, waiting on us. So I got to look past what's going on right now. Gotta go beyond it. That's what Jesus did in the text. Here it is. He has to begin to see beyond the dreadful moment that's in his face. Yeah, and so here it is. In this connection, the Lord had something to say about his glory. He begins to talk about his glory. I'm there in verse number 31. He says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Now, children, I need to tell you very plain and clearly, when I read this, I'm trying to understand why the Lord is putting me right here, because I'm not getting that very clearly. It wasn't coming to me, helping me understand all the glorifying him and them and me and him. I couldn't get it. And so I had to go to another translation. I don't do that very often. But I went to the Message, and the Message says it like this. When he had left, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is seen for who he is.
All right.
And God seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display.
Yes.
In glorifying him, he himself is glorified. Glory all around. Then I began to understand what he was saying to here. It's as if the Lord Jesus himself almost breathed a sigh of relief when Judas finally has left the building. Do y'all understand? In the text here, it says that therefore when he was gone, he's talking about Judas. Y'all remember, they're at the table, and Judas, he's be talking about, there's going to be one that's going to betray me. He says, the one that dips in, I dip and give the sock to. And all of a sudden, the scripture says that the devil had already entered into Judas Iscariot. He'd already got on the inside of him. And Jesus leads over to him, that you going to do, do it quickly.
Do it quickly.
Get in a hurry and do what it is that you claim that you got to do. Here it is. The door has shut. Judas is gone. And we need a note here of the expression, he was gone out. It underlines a voluntary act of Judas. He left on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's true that Jesus excommunicated Judas, but it also is true that Judas excommunicated himself. Yeah, in final analysis, God does not send people to hell. They send themselves.
That's right.
But look, God, he endorses the decisions they themselves make.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if that's what you want to do, go on and do it. Yeah, you going there on your own. If you go, you're going on your own. And so the atmosphere, prophet, in the upper room had changed. There was a shifting in the atmosphere, because now the room has been purged. It has been cleansed, because the devil and the one he's about to use is already gone. And he's rushing him into the dark, into the night season. And the Lord turns to his disciples and he says, now. Do y'all see? It wasn't until Judas and the spirit of Satan had left the building that Jesus was ready to do something. He says, now. You can't get ready until some stuff has already gone.
That's right.
You cannot get ready to go until some stuff you've gotten out of. So till you've gotten over some stuff, till you get away from some stuff.
Yeah.
He says, now. Now, the departure, y'all, of Judas marked the crisis and a turning point. Some things happened when Judas left. His departure was the first step in the final journey of Jesus to the cross. He's on his way to the cross and all of that came beyond that. And in order for that to get the ball rolling, Judas had to leave the building. Yeah, so John uses the title here, Son of Man. He uses it in his writing about 12 times. The first time was in when he was talking to Jesus, was talking to Nathanael. And now John uses it for the last time. He did, and I was wondering if Nathanael would look up at Jesus when he heard the Son of Man, because he remembered him talking to him like that. Maybe he's talking to him directly. Again, he begins to listen to him. He would remember Jesus saying to him, ye shall see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The departure of Judas signaled the departure of Jesus. Judas had to depart so Jesus could depart.
Yeah.
He was on his way home, y'all. The road was dark and it was mighty steep. The cross stood across the way. But death and the tomb were to be conquered. Sin and Satan were defeated. Already the Son of Man was glorified and God was glorified by the sinless humanity of Jesus. He was already getting glory because of Jesus and his sinlessness. Now I'm wondering, is God getting any glory from you?
Jesus.
Jesus is now on his way. He's on his way back to that glory he had with the Father before the worlds began. The glory he had laid aside. Y'all remember he laid aside when he came to earth. God was glorified in the Son of Man. The Son of Man was to be glorified as he walked the path of obedience by way of Gethsemane, by way of Golgotha, by way of Golgotha, and the way right back to the grave and then back to glory, there to be seated by the throne of God. And so the Lord, he was talking about his glory, but he needed you to understand his goals. He says there in verse number 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So the coming crisis were going to affect not only Jesus, but they were going to affect his disciples.
Yes.
You got to understand that stuff that affects you affects other people too.
That's right.
He could picture their despair as the events of the next few hours were about to unfold. And moreover, the full realization of his heavenly glory necessitated his withdrawal from the earth. In order for him to get glory in God in heaven, he had to be withdrawn from the earth. And so now he knows how this is going to affect his disciples, and his heart went out to them. He called them little children. How many of y'all know they was way past what it was?
Yeah.
He said, little children. These words not only convey the thought of relationship, but that word little, they carry the idea of deep affection and care for those who are not yet mature. Now, you may be 40, 50, 70, 80, but you might not be mature. He says, little children. He's not trying to throw off on you. He understands your present place and that you are at a place of maturing, but you have not gotten there yet. Yeah, he says that his heart went out to all of them. Peter, James, John, Thomas, Philip, Andrew, Nathaniel, all of them, and the rest of them. He went out to them. He could see the looks on their face as the words began to sink in. You shall seek me, and whether I go, you cannot come. Can you imagine? Think about that, y'all. Jesus, who you've been walking with some 3.5 years, you've been walking with him, and everywhere he went, you went. And he sent you some places, and he would go some other places, and he would show back up. But here in the text, he says, you're going to look for me.
Uh-huh.
And where I'm going,
you can't come.
That's it right there. He says, you can't come. And so far as we know, he had never addressed them as little children. They were the words his mother used when they had lost him and they found him in the temple.
Uh-huh.
Little children. The Lord had to remind them that he had already told the Jews that they would seek him. But he had added two things in the statement to the Jews that he omits right here. I need you to get it. He just says that where I go, you can't come. But when he told the Jews, he said, I'm reminding you what I told the Jews. But when he told the Jews what he was doing, he omits the fact here that he said, y'all going to die in your sins. And they would not find him. The disciples were simply affirmed that the path now that was opening up before him, he got to do it by himself.
Yeah.
Again, y'all don't know when to shout. Glory to God. He doesn't say to his disciples that you're not going to find me. You're going to die in your sin and you're not going to find me. He does not say that to his disciples, and he does not say that to us, his children. Because he says to us, he never leave us nor forsake us. He says to us, I will come to you.
Yeah.
And therefore, if he is with me, if he's keeping me,
yeah,
if he's loving me, if he's saving me, I can't die in my sin, and I won't find a place nowhere in hell.
Right.
I said you
right.
Don't know when
yeah.
to shout. Woo! Glory to God. He said, This is the law, the Lord of life. But here he gives us some new law. He begins to say to us that the law of love belongs to us. He gives us a new law and a new commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Right there it is. And this thing is impulsive. It's impulsive. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Yeah, he said, Peter and John, I know y'all are so different in temperament, but love one another. He says, Simon, Zealots, and Matthew, I know you come from opposite backgrounds, but love one another.
Uh-huh.
Daring Andrew and doubting Thomas, love one another. Yeah, he says that I need you to love one another, and I wonder today if he called your name and attached somebody else's name to it, would you be able to receive that command to love one another? I know, Danny, you deal what you deal with, but he says, and Gary deals with what he deals with, but he says, love one another.
Right.
Deacon Coles, I know you got all you need to have, and everything else is going fine for you, but some of us are struggling, but he says, love one another. I know it. You might not even like me, but I like you. No, I love you. And he says, love one another. I can't push that point no harder than I'm trying to push it. That you've got to go beyond whatever circumstances life has thrown your way about your brother or your sister and love them. That's what he said. You gotta
love
them. No. He says, he doesn't stop there. He says, as I have loved you. Now that's some strong stuff right there. If he just said, go on, love, you love them, then you'd have been all right. But he says, no, as I have loved you. With the love which suffers long and is kind. You gotta love them with the love of which many waters cannot quench.
Yeah.
Love them with that love that is stronger than death.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I'm going away, but these folk gonna still be here. You need to love each other. So love one another. That's what he said. You gotta love one another. You gotta sink all your differences need to be sunk in the wide sea of love. Love should be where your differences land. Love. It's the new law. And what is the impulse of that law? It is his love. You gotta love like God impulsively. That's just what you do. I know they spit on you, wipe it off, keep it moving. Love like he loved. Because that kind of love is also impactful, y'all. In the text, I'm there and I'm about through. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody, I'm ready now. I'm ready to go on out. I'm ready to go out. I'm ready to go out. The badge of true discipleship is not in the doctrinal statements to which we subscribe. It's not in the types of hymns and music we prefer. It's not in the rituals we observe or the ordinances we cherish. Not in our soul winning zeal or our faithfulness to the church that we belong to, but in our love for all those who love the Lord. That's where it is. We know your true discipleship when your love is in step for those who love the Lord. When people see that, they will recognize Christ in his disciples and recognize that love is truly his own. What are they seeing in your love? Are they seeing Christ's love or your love? Because your love may not be love at all.
That's right.
You say you love folks. But if what some folks are passing off as love, you might well keep it to yourself. Folks need the love of Christ. I wish I was transparent enough to tell my story just from this past week. But when you think folk love you, and you reach out needing that love, and rejection is all you get. Men and women of God, keep that to yourself. Jesus, y'all, he realizes the need for his love. Though it was tough at this particular time, he tells the disciples that he was going away. That y'all will look for him, but you can't come. At the same time, he tells them to love one another as he has loved them. And then he goes on to express that love through the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
Goes on to express that love by way of the cross of Calvary. A cross that should have been me. You should say it should be you too. It should have been me. He expresses that love to an angry mob when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He expresses that love to his mother and to his friend. He says to them, behold your mother, behold your son. I'm leaving you with somebody that you won't have to walk this way alone. But oh, bless his name. He expresses that love to a dying thief, one on the way to hell with gasoline draws. And he stops and he says, this day you're going to be with me. That's some kind of love. That's some kind of love. All because the thief said, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. Now look, you might not be as bad as them, but if you could just tell the Lord to remember me, remember you. Tell him, Lord, remember me. He will immediately make preparation for you. Somewhere in glory, where together you can bless the wonderful name of Jesus. It's there. He says, I've got to go ahead and bless these people. I've got to go ahead and show my love for them. He loves them with love that nobody else has. A love that cannot be comprehended. A love that doesn't end. A love that keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going. He said, this is the love that I have for you. He's praying. And he's blessing them. And he breathes his last breath for those who need a Savior. He says to them, he's expressing his love. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible says he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died. Now that was for you. You missed a shock moment again. That was for me. When he died, he was expressing his love for you. But the Father, knowing his death and his burial would not be enough for you to get ready to go out. That wasn't going to be enough. It was the third day morning. I heard him earlier talk about it. The third day morning that the Father raised him up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he wants to give that same power to you. Reach out and grab it. Reach out and get it. Reach out. Come on, reach out and grab all the power that he wants to give to you. Now you're ready. Now you're ready to go out. Yeah. He has prepared you. Your first step of preparation, Lord, is one of love. Yes. That you must learn to love one another as Christ has loved you. I wish you would push pause and begin to think about how life would be if you loved the way Christ loved, in spite of the love that you get.
Yes.
Can I tell you, I had to push pause this week. I had to just stop and just shake my head. And then the next day, take calls from them same people.
Jesus.
I was telling some folk that they said I wouldn't even answer the phone.
Oh, no.
But I have to love.
That's right.
Like Christ loved. Y'all, I didn't even know that this is where God was taking me then. But I was doing what he had been teaching me already, because I had that impulsiveness of the love that he had given. His impulse is to do the right thing. So love. Love one another. Not like you know how to love, but like Christ loved. That's why folk keep getting another chance.
Yes.
Amen.
Because I got to do you like Christ did me. That's why you need to give another chance, because that's what Christ did for you. So look here, I love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Because Christ loved me. Even when I was in my sin, he already loved me. So he says, love one another like I have loved you. That's the only way you'll be able to go out and do what he's called for you to do.
That's right.
Because hold up, wait a minute. When you get out there, there are going to be some tough places, some tough faces, some crazy smells, some rainy days, and some dark nights. But it's the love of Jesus on the inside of you that will allow you to keep on loving impulsively. It'll keep on loving till they have been impacted to the place that they know without doubt You are children of the Most High God. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We've got to go out, y'all, into the community. And you have to go impulsively. But when you go, your impulse must not be reckless.
That's right.
It must be at a place where folk can see Christ in you. Not only will they see it, they will declare it. Jesus, I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in you. I want somebody to say that they see Jesus in me. Think about that the next time you want to carry on like you carry on. Are they seeing Jesus in you? When they see you, who will they see? Amen. God bless you today.